each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. I am your brother. I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus, and endure we do, and welcome. Tony, you look different.
Yes.
Oh,
what
yes.
happened? I just the first time I'm looking at you right now.
Yeah. I shaved everything off.
You sure did.
Yeah.
It's summertime.
Summertime. Plus the FBI is looking for me somewhere.
See? Careful.
Careful.
Well, you look so much younger now.
That's what they keep saying.
He's like a baby.
Like
baby.
A millennial.
Usually Christina's doing the, what's this all about? She looks at me, she uses her head. It's like,
no,
what's this all about?
I'm just looking at you for the first, because my head's down. I'm looking at trying to figure out what we're going to do. And you guys can, as you do, at the last second. And so I had looked up. And
we know how easily you get distracted.
Yeah, exactly.
I should have thought about this. So I'll pay some hair.
Anyway, but you look clean.
Clean.
Yeah. Even. Cool. Mm-hmm. You know?
The good old days.
Like the good old days.
Yes.
Hi, Christina.
And Father.
You went to the vacuum cleaner. These little things that have to be done in the course of a day.
I thought it was closer, but it was a little further than what I thought it was.
It happens.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
I tell you, you know, the allergies.
Yeah, I'm starting to get that too now.
Since February, I've been struggling with that. And yesterday, I came back and I had a lot of things I wanted to do, and I was just hit with the allergies and couldn't do anything.
It takes all the energy out of you.
It completely debilitated me. I took Claritin. Christina said, you know, do that. Mm-hmm. So I liked the time she told me to put that stuff in my hair, you know, to take the gray out. It's a long story. I'm not going to go into that.
No, we're not going to go into that.
But anyway, so she said, take the Claritin. Go. To, so I went.
24-hour.
CVS. 24-hour, yeah. So I went to CVS and I bought Claritin because I had tried Allegra.
I've tried them all. And
Zyrtex.
I'm not taking them anymore because they're all the same.
Yeah, but how do you get by?
I kind of deal with the pain.
You deal with it.
The best way I can, and if I really need to reach for something like that, I will.
But when you can't breathe?
Yeah,
or you go through a whole box of Kleenex. I mean, I've been buying boxes of Kleenex. It's unbelievable. But today, so far, thank God, I feel okay somewhat. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, I was completely debilitated. So I went and got the Claritin. It didn't really do it. Didn't do anything.
And there wasn't even the one I told you, Father. It's a different
one. But I thought, what's Claritin's Claritin, no?
No, there was a different.
There's the one Claritin D?
There's different.
Well,
guys.
They said I had asked once about that, and they said that's, you know, they didn't recommend that because it can affect the heart or something.
Well, see, even Claritin, you have to take it daily. I mean, you just can't take it and expect a result. It's like a buildup. That's
really?
What the pharmacist once told me. Just when the season comes, when you know you're going to get, you should start taking it daily. Mm-hmm. But I hate to get chained to those pills because. Like you, a lot of times I feel like it's doing nothing for me.
Yeah. Mm. Wow, geez. Well, I went and bought. Then I went after, and then I talked to Chris. I talked to you again.
Sure. Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah, after you got back.
Yeah, because I went to the Whole Foods and I bought something that I could take with the Claritin because it wasn't working. So they showed me something. Mm-hmm. They said, oh, this, and I don't know if they really know anything about this, but so I bought it. It was some kind of some natural herb or something,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you put it under your tongue and you let it dissolve. You have to do two every 15 minutes for an hour. So actually, that immediately, that you know, things kind of cleared up a little bit. But but then within an hour, it was back after I did all of them. You know, so finally, at the end of the day, towards the end of the day, I thought I because I gotta sleep, right? And otherwise, I really was already planning to cancel everything today because I thought I'm not gonna sleep, so I was even gonna. And I really got started late today anyways, it is, but so I ended up taking Benadryl because I don't like to take that because it makes you groggy.
Yeah.
But I thought, I you know, thank God for the internet. Now you can look and you can check that. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not good, but can you take these two together? And this doctor said on the internet, you know, that you could take four times as much and it would be, okay, so you could do that. So I did it, and at least I got through the night, you know. But today, I don't know. So anyway, for the first time I checked the, because we were in the office, and I checked, well, what do they say about Chicago? Now, I never looked into that. But they said the grass is, whatever it is, grass, weed, or whatever is very high.
Pollen, whatever that is.
It's very high.
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, I didn't have this before, so.
And I've heard there's different strains, too, so
exactly,
that's why
it's
really strong.
Somebody said that this year they're all very strong. Yeah. So.
And Illinois is one of the worst states with all the types of pollen.
Wow. It's just, you can't live. There's no life. You know, you're fighting the elements, you're fighting everything. You know, it's just it's amazing. Life is good. Life is a gift. It is a gift. And so I saw this. There's a couple of things I wanted to talk about today. I got started late because I'll tell you the other thing I did. You want to hear what else I did, which was really probably stupid. But so I was reading, and somebody told me, I'd read before about the trampoline. You know, there's this little trampoline. It's good exercise.
Right.
You know, you just bounce up and down. And I'm an avid exerciser. I do exercise, and so I but also that this is very good for your circulatory system and for the just everything. So anyway, I had read about this. I was reading these things on cancer patients because I happen to be a cancer patient, I guess you'd call it, or I struggle with that. I'm dealing with that, battling that, as they say.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel fine for the most part, but I have to go every 3 weeks for these treatments. But anyway, so somewhere way back when, you know, and several months ago, I saw this video that somebody sent me, and it's about what's the good foods to eat and what kind of exercise. And they recommend this trampoline. So I thought, well, that looks like fun, but, you know, I didn't give it a second thought because I do exercise. So I talked to somebody the other day, and they were saying, you know, you should get this trampoline. So I did, didn't I? I told
you. Yes,
so I found it. I found it right over here on Elston, at the place where I bought my other equipment. Years, so many years ago. And it was only like $30-some.
Oh,
it wasn't so bad. So I came back, and I, you know, put it together, and they said, you read all these warnings, and, you know, you got to have two people to put the X and snap, because you got to fold it out, and... So I'm not going to find somebody. I'm not going to go look for somebody to help me do this. But so I put it together. It wasn't too bad, and made sure it didn't snap and, you know, chop my arm off or something. Shouldn't do these things. But anyway, so then I bounced on that thing for 30 minutes. You know, it was okay. I did. You know, it was. I started out very very slow. Mm-hmm. I didn't really bounce much too high because I'm not a young man. You know, I've got the. You know, my knees and all that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to. So I did that for 30 minutes, but very slow. Got off, and it was just the weirdest feeling.
Yes,
you know?
It's a weird feeling. I forgot to tell you that.
Oh, yeah, it was really strange.
It's almost like riding a bike, a stationary bike, and then you get off, and it's like you're still moving.
Yeah, I don't know what. It was just a weird feeling.
It is a weird feeling, yeah.
So why didn't you tell me that?
I forgot to tell you that minor detail.
All right.
So I have the picture in my head. Somebody's coming in to see Father. Oh, he's upstairs in the trampoline. He'll be down.
Trampoline, right.
He's jumping on the trampoline.
Like the time I used to throw a baseball against the wall, you know.
I remember that. I used to hear him like,
what's going on there?
You know,
playing pitch against the wall.
And you never made a hole in the wall, Father?
No.
No, you have to hit it pretty hard.
But anyway, so then yesterday morning I got on the trampoline again, thinking, well, should I do this or shouldn't I? Because it was my legs were hurting, you know, my side. I thought, you know, I'll do it, and I did for 40 minutes, about 40 wow. minutes. But I'm in a lot of.
You're just jumping up and down.
That's well, yeah, you do. You just kind of, and you get more, but it's not good. I don't know if it's good for yeah. somebody.
Are your legs, are they sore?
Yeah, they really are.
Because I remember jumping, my calves, my legs would feel, yeah.
Yeah, they are. So today I'm in a lot of pain, and I don't know about the knee joints and all that. I got to be careful. So I'm debating. I was on the elliptical this morning, so I was able to do that. So.
Or maybe you want to cut the time in half or.
Yeah, but you know, I just like when I collapsed my lung last year, you know, exactly.
You don't even know when you're going to collapse your lung, so you might as well just keep jumping up until you're not going to feel it.
Yeah, I was 3 months into the chemo, and I thought I could do anything and everything that I did before. I was pushing myself, and I thought, well, I can do this in 45 minutes, and all of a sudden I didn't do the full 45 minutes, but I said, oh, my, I pulled my muscle. The pain was unbelievable. I sat down and had to wait an hour before the pain to subside. Yeah. And all week I kept saying, well, I really pulled a muscle. It was a haul from the front to the back exercising, because it's ellipticals you're using, those upper muscles as well. And
then you started coughing again. We're like, oh, no, here we go again with the cough.
Exactly. And so just by God's grace, by God's providence, I had a CAT scan the following week because I had the appointment. And they said, you know, are you having trouble breathing? I said, I
hate to alarm you, but
I don't think so. I said a little bit, but I think it's just, you know, I'm tired. I'm doing this chemotherapy. You know, is it, you've got a lung that's collapsed. I said, oh, that's what happened. So then my doctor said, how did you get by the week without and they said, thank God you didn't fly, because that could have killed you, you know, with a collapsed lung on a plane. So
and then you were even on the radio and just doing your everyday
routine.
Well, I was doing up to a certain point, and then I got, you know, because I less and less was on the radio, and just like now, I didn't know if I was going to make it today or not. Not because of, just because of the allergies. Just I guess it's everything. It's a combination of everything. But so anyway, that's enough. So what about the religion? You know, this is Catholic radio. So we'll take a break in a moment. But a question: I've got a couple of things that I was reading about this morning, reflecting on. One of this, I just saw an article that it was just the title was, "What do most people want to do on vacation?" So I'll leave that question with you. Later, you know, maybe we'll get into this. You know, the convenient atheist, why it's convenient to be an atheist. We can look at that. I thought that was interesting. Another interesting thing was the CEO of Apple. What's his name? Tim. Do you know his name?
No.
Tim,
no. I don't know. Not Apple.
Not Apple. Not a fan
Tim
of Apple.
Tim Cook. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
It's a very interesting article. He gave a talk at MIT. Mm. And it was very interesting. Maybe we'll get a chance to look at that. And then what the Pope had to say to the priests, which I think is appropriate for the people. So those are a number of things we might get into if we can stop talking about ourselves, or me, if I can stop talking about myself. But, you know, it's life, you know.
This is the thing,
you know. I'm coming in, and that was part of my struggle this morning, too, as happens. I don't want to think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too tired. I don't want to think. And, you know, to prepare for the radio requires what? But it requires that you think. You know. Anyway, so here we are, having not thought me, and I have really been thinking about a lot of things. So we'll take a break. But the first question is, what do most people want to do on vacation? What do you guys want to do on vacation? This is vacation time, right?
Okay.
So we'll take a look at that. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change, and AM 750 WNDZ.
How long has it been since you've been on a picnic? Winds of Change is inviting you to St. Stan's Community Picnic on Sunday, August 20th, from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. What is a picnic without food?
Ethnic plates include Hispanic, Polish, and Asian for only $6 a plate. And a $3 kids hot dog plate. And what's a picnic without kids games, music, bouncy house, and of course, great food? Bring the kids, bring the family, bring your lawn chairs and sunglasses, and an appetite for great food. St. Stan's Community Picnic, Sunday, August 20th from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. on the St. Stan's Church grounds. 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Here we are sitting in the middle of the prairie at Annunciation Parish in beautiful Homer Glen, Illinois. And with me is Father Tom Loya. Father Tom, please tell us about Prairie Fest.
This is the 10th anniversary of Prairie Fest, which is a festival for the entire family where you'll enjoy music, a grand cash raffle with $12,000 in total prizes, a beer garden, animal shows, juggling, wine art, bake sale, and more.
Prairie Fest kicks off Friday, August 11th at 5 p.m. with music by Evolution Project, Piano Man, and Abba Salute. Then, on Saturday, August 12th at noon, is Family Day with kids' games, animal shows, juggling, and more. At 4 p.m., the music kicks off on Family Day. Then at 7, the Nick Lynch Band. Sunday, August 12th, starting at 11 a.m., prepare to polka with the Polka Generations Band.
While you're enjoying all of this music, food, and fun, take a guided tour of this beautiful prairie and experience the church's breathtaking interior during the Annunciation Parish Church Tours.
Only a $5 cover for those 18 and over for Prairie Fest on Friday and Saturday with free admission on Sunday. On-premises parking, just $5.
For early registration discount for the Wine Arts Studio and event schedule, visit ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com.
Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 11th through the 13th at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So the question is, and you guys, the question is, what do most people want to do on vacation? And I asked the question before we took the break, and as soon as we got off, you guys said
nothing.
And that's the answer.
That's good.
Why is that, though?
Because that's what vacation is, to get away from the stress work.
I didn't read the article, and I didn't have to, because I thought the same thing.
The first thing that came to
but
mind.
It said, what do most people want to do on vacation?
Nothing.
Why is that? You know, you think back when vacation was, you know, you're going to go on a trip, you're mm-hmm. going to go travel and all that, and would you want to do that? I think to get away, certainly mm-hmm. to get away. I was thinking this too, you know, we were talking about this a little bit on the break. But now people are different, and I'm a priest, and so I'm around people all the time. But I'm also in a sense formed in, part of my formation was the desert, you know, in the sense the novitiate, where you go into like a monastic situation. And I have to say, quite frankly, you know, maybe you guys can concur with this yourselves, but I've always valued time by myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I remember, even as a child, as a child. I mean, I think as young as when I was in second grade, because I remember we lived in Colorado at the time, and I used to like, for instance, I like the swing set. I like the rocking chairs and things that move. And I used to love to just swing by myself, mm-hmm. away from everybody, and just swing and think and even pray, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. That was my favorite pastime. I like to walk. I'm a walker. Don't do so much of that here in Chicago because I'm busy and mm-hmm. there isn't the time, but I should make the time, shouldn't I? But But I can. But so when I go on vacation, it's not vacation. I call it retreat. I always call it retreat. So if I when I go to Rome usually in January, I like to be among the people, but not to engage in conversation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will engage in some conversation here and there, but it's very light stuff, very short. You know, it's not where you have to sit down for an hour or whatever. And people really don't know me, and I purposely don't want to be known. I just want to be able to be, in a
blend
sense,
in.
Incognito, blend in. I like to take the tram. I like to take the bus. I walk. I love to sit in the piazzas and just have a cup of coffee. I'm a people watcher, too. I love to watch people. And so I like that. That is, for me, an ideal vacation, but I call it a retreat because it really is for me more a retreat, because it is an opportunity, because I do pray. So prayer isn't put to the side. I'm a firm believer that, and this will maybe get into something later we might get to, I don't know, but prayer is something we do all the time. Oh, I meant to bring these other questions. Maybe I'll do this tomorrow. Because I had a whole series of questions. I want to get your opinion on this, too. You know, I want to get this. I'm putting together a book for the Knights of Adoration, and I want to get it into the hands of all these. We've got so many millennials, so many young people out here, young guys. But to get it into their hands, they may, because there's a whole attitude out there, it seems, that is somewhat indifferent to religion and will even boast of a certain kind of atheism or, being irreligious or not really having a relationship with God, not belonging to anything like that or anyone like that. But anyway, so I'd like to just get it in their hands because I think, you know, we're made for God. We're created by God. We're destined for God. Deep down, if we're really going to be honest, really, really be honest, you know, we have to, must be in some way or another grappling with the whole question of relationship with God. But anyway, we can talk about that. But so the point is that I like alone time. I'm a thinker. I'm a watcher. So in that sense, what would most people want to do on vacation? I would have to. I can't. The other thing is, living where I work is not, it's easy. Okay, but it's not that easy because as long as I'm here, I feel I've always got to work. I mean, I'm never away from the work. My office is just not too far from my room, the chapel. The chapel's not work, but I'm always working in the chapel, actually, because I'm preparing homilies or I'm writing letters or whatever. But the... So for me to vacation, like there's not a weekend. I don't have weekends, and I work on the weekdays, so there isn't really off time. We would say Wednesday's my day off, but it's not a day off. It's just there's never a day off unless I leave. I mean, absolutely leave the facility, leave the property, and I have to do that. To have that that time, which, by the way, you know, in God's hidden grace or His hidden providence, you know, my going every 3 weeks for this treatment is, in a sense, it is a form of relaxation, believe it or not. As long as I'm doing fine, but what about you guys? Because you go home, you know, Christina. There's a point where you leave the parish.
That's my sanctuary.
Although you're so close to the parish, you know.
Yeah, and I don't go home. Well, I only sleep at home. But when you talk about vacation, I literally, for me, vacation, I have to leave the country. That's That's a sure thing. But you know, being
why
with
leave
family,
the country?
Because if I stay here, it's like I never left.
Right.
I don't feel like I'm on vacation.
No, if you stay in Chicago.
If I stay in Chicago,
but why can't you go to to the country, like into the country, like to California?
I've never been to California.
Well, see, I think I can answer that for her, and maybe I'm wrong here, but that was my kind of thought. When I think of vacation, I think of going to like California or to Mexico because there's family there.
Yeah.
So what you do on vacation is I'm with family. But you're right. I think if I was going to Italy, it would be a different thing because I would be, okay, there's no family there, but I would want to do the things like the sightseeing and going to places. So I think I know what you mean. When you're out of the country, you're actually, you're not with family. You're it's a new experience.
So when you go to, when you go with family.
Right. When I think vacation, I'm going on vacation. I'm going to California.
With the family.
It's usually family.
It's family.
So you're with other people.
Right.
But it's a break from.
Yeah, it's a break from the routine.
Here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the work.
And you're right in a way. I don't want to do anything, but then I'm with family. So
that's
it's
good.
A better thing.
That's a good thing. Okay.
Yeah, it's a very good thing. It's not like I want to see things or do things. I'm in a different state. I want to, you know what I'm saying? It's
sure.
It's family.
Yeah.
I go for the family purpose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if I was going like to Fatima, if I was going to Italy, something like that, then I'd be going to see something.
Yeah.
So then it would be more of a, I think, a vacation. Yeah.
So that's, so going back to Christina, then you really, so aside from Chicago, you really don't know any, you don't know the United
traveled,
States.
No, I've traveled to other states. Yeah. When I was younger, we drove around to different states. But for me to vacation, I want to experience each country is a different world. So I'm, this is my home, the U.S., but I want to leave and go somewhere else to have a different experience.
Sure.
That's why I have to leave the country. For me, that's vacation.
I just go as far away from here as possible. You know, the funny thing is, and it's so true, and for myself, it's the same thing, I think, because And I've told people this before, and it is absolutely truth. Once I get on a plane, once the door closes, I am gone. I'm gone.
Yes.
And I don't take I have this capacity not to take
leave
the work
everything.
With me, to leave everything behind. Because I know when I die, it's all going to go on. It's not going to, you know, and you know, the year I was in, that was a sabbatical year, which is really the year of year of rest.
Yes.
I mean, you do things, you're doing things, but it's away from the responsibilities and the burden of of the parish. But I, too, you know, I have to, when I go, Massey, the difference for me is I could go, I could decide to go to a lot of places. Like, I'd love to see Argentina. I'd like to go to, I've been to many, many countries. I mean, I'm a world traveler, you know, I'm really quite astute when it comes to that. No, really, seriously, I'm being funny, but serious.
Yeah, you've been,
my dad said that, you know, before he died, he says, you know, he was in the services. You've seen more of the world than I have, and I have quite a bit more. So, but I'd say in the last, during the sabbatical, because I made it a point, I went to Africa, I was in a few other countries. I lived in Spain for a while. So I've seen, and I value that. But at this point, I'd say since that time, since 2008, all I want is basically to go to Rome. And here's why. Because I know Rome really well, and I don't have to, it's not about a new experience, not about sightseeing, but it's just about, because I have a ritual. I have certain things that I do every time I go. It's like I don't have to think. Because I know this is where I'm going to go for my morning coffee and my little...
It's like a true retreat.
Yeah,
like you say. It's not a vacation. It's
you don't
like
have to think.
You, that's,
not,
you hit
on the nail. I don't have to think and prepare
that's,
anything.
That's another thing. Another key. Not having to think.
Right. That's that's the big thing for me. Exactly.
Yeah, that's a big... Yeah. Here, you're not having to think this, that. You're on call.
Yeah.
And when you leave... You literally, when you leave and you get on that plane, it's like it's not even
exactly.
There.
Exactly. Boy, you're making me really want to go to Rome now. Right? But that is exactly what it is. So that's part of my... So this morning, okay, so I was the convenient atheist. I was thinking about this. I was reading something on this, and I thought, you know, there is a convenience to atheism, in a sense. We'll talk about that when we come back. Mm-hmm. But to relate that to this vacation thing. So this morning, as I was, because yesterday it was the day. I mean, I did go to the hospital in the morning. It was a whole morning ordeal, and not an ordeal. I shouldn't call it an ordeal.
That takes a lot of time.
But it takes a lot of time by the time you hit the traffic and you're going out of the city to the hospital. And so it was nice to make the visit. It was good to see Jerry. Mm-hmm. And but by the time I got back, then I. It was after 12. I think it was about 1 o'clock, and I think I left at 9:30 or 10 in the morning. So, you know, by the time you get back, you know, then you, you know, it's the day. And then, of course, the allergies set in and all that, and you're fighting it the rest of the day. So my desk, as you can see, is exactly as I left it. Yes. All these things I wanted to do, I didn't do any of it. So it's still there. So today, my whole morning has been, in a sense, because it's been a short morning, because I started later this morning because I had to Benadryl. So I mean, it's amazing how that, you know, because you feel the effect the next day. I was able to exercise. At least I have to do the exercise because that's what wakes me up. So it gets me going. And but then by that time, because you know, I came down and it was already after 9 o'clock. Yes. You were still already here. And then I've got to prepare. I've got a little bit of time. What are we going to do? We got radio today. What are we going to do? And so I'm in the chapel. First, I downloaded some articles. I was looking to see what's going on in the world, what's going on in the news, and all that. And then I went to pray, and the prayer is really almost a preparation. And that's where I was saying, you know, in my prayer, you know, what is wrong with me? And it's like, Jesus, you know, you picked the wrong person for this because I don't want to think. I'm tired of thinking. I just want to shut my mind. And but here we are, you know. Here we are. We're just rambling. I'm rambling. About Misery Loves Company. but the point we got it goes down back to we have responsibility. Yes. We have religious responsibility, and that's a burden, a happy burden, but it's a burden.
Sure.
You know, it's I disagree when people say that, you know, God saved us, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
We've been saved through the blood of the cross. We have to respond. And our response to the invitation to salvation is not a free ride. There are lots of strings attached. Mm-hmm. It is about bearing responsibility, fulfilling obligation. There's no way around it. I mean, that's, don't you think? I mean, that's, and it's the same thing with anything in life, really. You know, if you're committed, if you're married, if you got a job, if you got a family, you know, that's constant work. Mm-hmm. It's a constant. And you can't predict from one day to the next what's going to come for anybody. So when this, the convenient atheist, we'll come to this after the break, but it's, which, by the way, it seems to me, because I also listened to this this argument, a street debate between a guy from the Black Lives Matter and an Asian guy, and they were these two young men were debating, arguing, and this immigrant Asian was speaking. He was trying to defend before this guy from the Black Lives Matters why he supported Trump. And he was talking about his own experience as an immigrant, how his family, his parents came, couldn't speak English. They had to work, you know, to put him to school, give him a good education, instill in him the value of work. Mm-hmm. Then they finally, as he got a little bit older, then they went to school at the nighttime, because they had to work during the day, to learn the language. And the point he was making was that he believes in hard work. He doesn't see himself as a victim or as a, what would you say, as a victim, that he doesn't see himself as one where everybody owes him something, whereas the guy from the Black Lives Matter was arguing that this is an unjust country, and you know, it's all for the rich and it's for the white and it's for the, you know, this kind of stuff, and that the country owes the people, you know,
a living.
Mm-hmm. This kind of, actually, this was the whole debate and argument that went on, and I thought, wow, you know. So when we talk about the faith, about religion, it is about responsibility, it is obligation, it is about discipline. And maybe the convenient atheist just wants to shirk. They don't want the responsibility. Mm-hmm. They don't want the obligation. They don't want the discipline of faith. It's much easier in that sense mm-hmm. to be an atheist, and it's not that easy. In fact, it's not that easy. It's difficult, really, to be a person of faith. Now the more we nurture our relationship with God, and we really learn to value how indispensable and how meaningless life is without God, then, you know, it is a happy burden. But until we come to that point, and we don't, you know, and at times we experience that, we realize that. But at other times, when we go through periods of doubt, or we're in the desert, or we're going through the dark night, or God seems to be far away, or we're having to deal with the circumstances of life, which really call forth from us really heroic virtue, mm-hmm. in a sense, we might easily say, you know, why do I do this? Why do I make this sacrifice? Why do I have to be burdened with? Because it often it involves other people, mm-hmm. you know. Anyway, if this makes any sense, we'll take a break. We'll come back and kind of maybe shift gears into the convenient atheist. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
How long has it been since you've been on a picnic? Winds of Change is inviting you to St. Stan's Community Picnic on Sunday, August 20th from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. What is a picnic without food? Ethnic plates include Hispanic, Polish, and Asian for only $6 a plate, and a $3 kids hot dog plate. And what's a picnic without kids' games, music, bouncy house, and, of course, great food? Bring the kids, bring the family, bring your lawn chairs and sunglasses, and an appetite for great food. St. Stan's Community Picnic, Sunday, August 20th, from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. on the St. Stan's Church grounds. 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org, and enter into the presence of Christ.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I mentioned the convenient atheist, but this is an article that I found pretty interesting this morning, too. It's actually entitled The Comfort of Atheism and the Consolation of Faith. So you've heard people say, maybe they might say, that religion is oppressive, or that religious people are brainwashed. You'd think that's what people would say, and some people would say that. But really, the most annoying thing a non-religious person can say is not that religion is oppressive or religion brainwashes, but it's when they say, you know, sometimes I wish I were religious, I wish I could have that certainty. It just seems so comforting never to doubt anything. You know, that's kind of certainly condescending. Mm. But the, so it goes back to this, the convenient atheist who makes that assumption that, that, or, and actually it takes me back to Rome, speaking of conversations. The, I think I mentioned it way back when I was there, or when I came back, I met these two Swedish women at the restaurant, and they were having this conversation in English. I was listening to them, but I wanted to know where they were from. So as I was leaving, I said, where are you from? Because, and we were just, it was cold, and we were on the outside under a, like a, they had a enclosure and with heaters and all that, but it was still outdoors outside the restaurant. Because I wanted to be there because I wanted to be alone. That's why, you know, so when I started, I was. And then these two women, they came as well, so they were kind of sitting at a kitty corner from my table, but I could hear their conversation since I was alone and I'm a people watcher and listener. I was, you know, listening. And they had a very interesting accent, but I couldn't detect the accent where they were from. So, and their, in a conversation, I didn't listen to everything, but it was what I could pick up was interesting, very much of the world, you know. So I asked, you know, where they were from, and they told me they were from Sweden. And you wouldn't know because one of them was, you know, you have this stereotypic image of a Swede as being blonde hair, blue eyes, and very, very, very white. But, and one of them was. The other one was, I think she was from, where was it? One of the Northern African countries. So she wasn't black, she wasn't black, but she was, yeah. And I forgot exactly where she was from. And so they said they were, you know, told me they were from Sweden. And then we just started talking, you know, and we had this conversation. And I told, because I told them I was a priest. And then all of a sudden they wanted really to, that's at that point they wanted to engage me in conversation. And this was basically what they would say, that kind of this, with the gist of this article, oh, I wish I were religious. I wish I could have that certainty. But it just seems so comforting never to have to doubt things. Something to that effect. But also the fact that religion is restricting and it's brainwashing. A little bit of all that. So we started talking, and the, what was interesting was they didn't want me to leave. They wanted me to, you know, they kept, you know, and in fact, they invited me to sit down eventually because I stood there for a long time and they kept asking questions. And I found that they were both from a Christian background. They were both, I think they were both Lutheran, but they were they identified themselves as atheists. And it was obvious to me, just as this article speaks, that they were atheists because it was easier. It's a convenience for them to be atheistic, not to believe in God. They're not ready yet to grapple with the whole question of God, basically because they don't want the burden of the relationship, the burden of religion. And so in this article, as I was reading, the woman who writes the article was speaking about her defending the why of her Catholicism, why she's a Catholic, why she is a practicing Catholic. And on one hand, she said, you know, that there is a comfort being part of a body, you know, having membership in such a body. She said, I like, you know, the singing, the praying together. She likes being one of the crowd. She says, at church, you're not special. You know, God tells us, the church teaches us that everybody is that God sees everybody the same. So she's describing this. So she said, it gives me a chance to feel like I'm just part of this body. I'm not anything special. And also that, so while that's all very comforting in a sense, for 60 minutes on a given day, the harder teachings of the church are a bit disturbing. She says, you know, I have to admit that I don't accept or I find difficulty with some of the teachings of the church. Well, naturally, because she's living in a society that is living just the antithesis of the commandments of God and the teachings of the church. And so we're very much affected by the society we live in. But the point is that she had to tell this, or she's saying that, in fact, this is not convenient. It has there's consolation that comes in the religion. Mm-hmm. And as I just said before the break, you know, as we nurture our relationship with God, there is great consolation that comes. But there's also desolation. That's part of the spiritual journey as well. There's desolation and consolation, and it's in the desolation that one has to make a decision to persevere, to move forward, to persevere in humility, to surrender one's life, one's situation to God. But it's interesting, and there's a quote here from Flannery O'Connor. She talks about the misfits. Well, she says that if there is no God, then it's nothing for you to do. Then it's nothing for you to do but enjoy the few minutes you got left, the best way you can. And if it's by killing somebody or burning down his house or doing some other meanness to him, well, no pleasure means meanness. She says, imagine there's no heaven. She was speaking about a misfit who doesn't find a place in the body, in the mystical body. Does that make sense as I say that? Are you with me on that?
Yeah. They're just saying that there's no place for them? Or?
Yeah, they don't fit in.
Well, they choose not to.
Right.
If you don't believe in God, then you don't bear the burden of the religion. You don't have to take responsibility or fulfill the obligation of religion, of the faith, because God certainly imposes upon us. He's very clear. These are the laws. You know, fulfill these laws, and you prove yourself to be a wise and intelligent, a dignified people, and you'll be the envy of others. But if we don't want the burden of the law, as we don't seem to want in our society today, you know, just not everybody, but many, too many, I think, just because, I mean, you think of the Hollywood, I keep referring to Hollywood, but the whole pop culture, you know, so much of what we see is really contrary to the gospel. Yeah. I mean, why do you have to, I was watching that movie last week or the week before, I mentioned, I forgot the name of the movie now. Manchester by the Sea. And it was a good movie because it gave me a lot to think about. Really, it was a reflection of, much of it was a reflection of what's going on in this society. But why do we have, you know, why does there have to be that? Well, because it's a reflection of the society, I guess. The lack of values, even with regards to speech, with regards to one's actions, lack of parental control, you know, let the kids do whatever they want. I heard a lady, a woman yesterday speak about the problem with millennials, and I don't want to, you know, make a judgment generalization on this, but I'm hearing more and more. You hear this more and more. I talked to a doctor the other day who was telling me the same thing, you know, that in the last 4 or 5 years, the changes have been rather significant. What he's seen, I see this from the teachers, I hear this from teachers as well, there is a whole different kind of an attitude,
yes,
where there is a disconnect, where there is a, again, this is almost a badge of honor, mm-hmm, that I don't have faith, I don't believe in God, I have no affiliation with religion,
mm-hmm,
and therefore I'm free in a sense. Yeah. Because, again, it means what? Responsibility. It means obligation. It means you have to think beyond yourself. And as I say so often, it seems to me we've been breeding for so long now,
mm-hmm,
narcissism,
yes,
in the society. And so, you know, who cares that, mm-hmm, there's a law that says, you know, we keep holy the Sabbath, that we have but one God, when we're really, because we're really guilty of all kinds of idolatries. We don't call it idolatry, but we have many, many, many gods today. Many, many things or many people or many ideologies we place before God. God is kind of an afterthought, if anything, for many people. But the, it just comes down to the convenient atheist, you know. Is that a badge of honor? Is that a, something to boast about? Is that something to be proud of? If one is really, really, really self-reflective, and maybe this is part of the problem, is that we're not self-reflective. We don't think.
That's the issue.
Yeah. You know?
Nobody thinks anymore.
Nope.
Or too many are not thinking, it seems.
That's right.
No? And so the faith, you know, you're called down this path. It's Jesus said this is a very difficult path. It's a narrow path. It's the way of the cross. And that was, so the article kind of comes to that point, that it is about the cross and the realization that I am, as we say so here, but she's so often here, but she mentions this in the article as well, I realize that when I'm with this body of believers who, some may believe, some may not believe, some are struggling, but they're searching, at least they're searching, that we're all wounded people. We're all a bit broken. And there too, you know, people can say, well, the church, it's, you know, there's those misfits,
mm-hmm,
you know, look at them. And I've had people say that, you know, even to me, well, you got really some strange people over there. I say, well, yeah, I mean... I want to say, look at yourself in the mirror, would you, you know, but
it's everywhere.
But are we not all a little bit strange?
Yes.
I mean, are we not all a bit broken?
Mm-hmm.
Are we all not a bit wounded, some more than others? Mm-hmm. And as Jesus said, I come not for the healthy, but for the sick, and not for the saint, but for the sinner. The Pope, Pope Francis, speaks about the church as a filled hospital, but that we, and she concludes the article with this, that this consolation that comes, a comfort, a consolation that comes in the fact that we, you know, carry, I'm using my words now, but we carry each other through. You know, we encourage each other. We witness to each other. We're supposed to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was very interesting because the convenient atheist, maybe the problem is, and it seems to me, this is the problem, it's really about, I don't want the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the obligation. I want to do it my way,
mm-hmm,
which is the American way, right? Radical individualism. But not. It hasn't always been.
It hasn't.
No.
That's right.
No. We have there's a good, healthy individualism. It's good. And this is just speaking about, you know, myself. Mm-hmm. I like to be alone. I like to travel. And so there, in that sense, there's it's rather individual. Like I could be with the family, but I need, because I'm with this big, 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 big family,
mm-hmm,
that causes me a lot of problems. And so it's not about being alone. It's about being in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Jesus went to the desert, to the mountain, to the wilderness. He had to get away from the people. He had to commune. And in Mark's gospel, I probably mentioned this before, but we see Jesus so often trying to get away from the people. He can't get away from the people. They keep following him everywhere. But he tries to go into the desert. He tries to go to the wilderness. He tries to go to the mountain because he needs that time. He needs to go because he's expending energy. And in people relationships, when we relate one to another, we're expending energy. There's just this especially when you're dealing with problems and problem personalities and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's not easy. Parents, you know, raising a family, especially when you had big families back in those days. You know, that was well. I think part of it was you they didn't have the time to dawdle over one another because you had so many. Yeah, you got a work to do.
Yes.
You know, as my father would say, don't mess up. You mess up, everybody's going to mess up. And as we say, you know, this is not about you. You know, think about you. Anyway, so that's it's just interesting. No?
Yeah, it is interesting.
The other thing, final thing, is because I guess we're just going to keep going through. We're almost done now, but or we could come back to this tomorrow, but I thought that was very interesting. The CEO of Apple, Tim Cook, he spoke at MIT, and his really quite interesting his speech to the young people, but about the great good of technology, the great good, and how it really empowers us and it's enabled us to do so many things. But then he spoke in this speech he gave, he says that that technology alone isn't the solution. It's sometimes part of the problem. And he spoke about how he met Pope Francis.
Wow.
And he said it was the most incredible meeting of my life. This is a man who has spent more time comforting the afflicted in slums than he has with heads of state. This may surprise you, but he knew an unbelievable amount, he knew a lot about technology. And he said it was obvious to me that he had thought deeply about it, its opportunities, its risks, its morality. And what he said to me in that meeting, what he preached, really, was on a topic we care a lot about at Apple. But he expressed a shared concern in a powerful new way. He says, never has humanity had such power over itself, yet nothing ensures that it will be used wisely. And that really stuck with him. And he said, and I thought about you, Tony, because just don't listen to the trolls. Explain what those trolls are. And for God's sake, don't become one. Measure your impact on humanity, not on likes, but on the lives you touch, not in popularity, but in the people you serve.
Yep.
Interesting,
beautiful.
No?
Beautiful.
So we're out of time. All right, we will be back tomorrow. Thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see?